Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message this morning is on learning God's life lessons. And I want to use a text, use an example today, so I say, let's ask a farmer. As we go through our book of Matthew, connecting to Christ, let's learn some of the life lessons that God is showing us and teaching us through this book of Matthew. Now, last year, we had a farmer come and speak to PPC on a Sunday morning, and we were able to even have a tractor parked on the lawn to demonstrate the power of planting and reaping. And it was a powerful reminder of the kingdom of God, of what the kingdom of God is all about. So Farmer Lynn Russell from Napanee area, he taught us about how the process of planting crops, working for the harvest, and then reaping with precision, with haste, in a serious intensity, how it brings satisfaction to everyone. Like reaping the harvest together brings great satisfaction to everyone. How many remember when Farmer Lynn was here with us? It was awesome, wasn't it? And his catch line was, no farmer, no food, no food, no future. We all remember that part. And we started praying for the farmers. Remember to pray again for good weather this year. But his spiritual application was the best. He reminded us that the condition of the ground determined the condition of the harvest. And if the soil is kept moist, if the raindrops or watering process is not sufficient, then there is no sprouting. And if there's no sprouting, there's no growing. If there's no growing, there's no future. And so it was just all of the life lessons of farming that God even puts in the Bible. But another analogy that he gave us that was so powerful is that he showed us the fact that one seed from a bean can produce over 100 more seeds. And he showed us a picture of his own bean crop, which had the potential to spawn thousands. And so he was showing us in this that the business of farming over his entire life, the one thing that he valued is that everyone who participates in the harvest gets blessed by the harvest, but everything in the harvest is usable. How many remember him saying that even the leftover crop is usable? Even the leftovers are used to become bales of hay, which then becomes food for the animal, which still gets us back into the food chain. It was just powerful, and I thought I would remind us of that today, because the final comment he made was this: timing is everything. Huh? Timing is everything. So let's read today's passage as we continue in the book of Matthew, and we're in Matthew chapter 13. I believe it's going to say 1 there. I see the error on mine right here. But we're in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That was just a quick eraser somehow. Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the farmer scattering seed. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and he taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" Now listen to the event. Now, pardon me. I'm going to skip now between verse 10 and verse 18, and I'm going to give the definition of the parable. Now, verse 11 to 17, I'm going to preach that next week because there's two different thoughts going on here that Jesus wove together, and so it makes it a two-part message. I'm looking forward to next week. It's percolating. Okay, so here we go. Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he gave an explanation. We'll talk about that next week. Now this week, let's go to the definition of this parable of the sower and the seed. Verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message from the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as is planted. Amen. Here's the reading of God's word. So, folks, in all of this, Jesus is telling us a secret for your spiritual growth, a secret for our spiritual growth. And Jesus begins this passage by telling them that there's a secret to the kingdom of God. Now, it's not a secret in the manner that we know hidden secrets to be. When we have a secret, it's like, I have a secret, I don't want to tell you. And usually it's a little gossip that we want to make sure that the person is tantalized to hear, you know. But this is not that type of secret. This is a secret. Do you know when someone says, I have a secret recipe? Now, that's a different thing. You're like, oh, tell me. Okay, and so Jesus, I've got a secret. It's a secret of knowledge and understanding which can be obtained and which will make the recipient stronger and more powerful. That's the type of secret we should desire. Not the gossip little secrets, but the, like I said, more like the recipe. Oh, give me that awesome recipe. And see how that works. Mind you, pause story. Someone gave me their secret recipe for chicken where you put maple syrup, crush up Ritz crackers, and do all sorts of things. Anybody done that one? It burnt. Well, yeah, they could have kept that secret. But Jesus's secrets, you want it because it's for your growth and your development. And so this passage was written well over 2,000 years ago, but it mirrors today's society in an unprecedented way. It shows the callousness and the carelessness of modern day Christianity. It demonstrates both the good and the bad of the way we approach Christianity today. And so before I get more into the text, which I'm going to take us through verse by verse, let's just look at some of the good and the bad of Christianity. You see, when we are looking to be children of the kingdom of God, the good side of it is this, that we become genuine believers. We must become genuine believers. That's why we want the secrets of the kingdom of God. When we have become genuine believers, we are professing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are others who are just professing believers, like, oh, I believe in Jesus, I go to church. It's not just the professing, it's also the living, the confessing, the living it out. You can't just have a seed and not plant it. The second point is this. When we're walking in the goodness of our Christianity, we have a true doctrinal acceptance. We accept the doctrines of Christ. But when we are not, we have a false doctrinal acceptance. We'll take anything from the internet, from anyone. The person could be living in sin. They could just put up a big sheet or a little background like this and stand in their basement with a camera, put it on the internet, and we swallow it up, not knowing that it's just a false prophet. And so there's a false doctrinal acceptance because that person's not proven, neither in the word or perhaps not even called. Then there, if we're going to walk in the truth of our Christianity, there must be true godly rituals. True godly rituals. The godly rituals that we aspire to are not the rituals that men have made, but it's the rituals of the kingdom of God. It's as we observe communion and water baptism and the sanctity of marriage and all of these things reading the word and just many, so many things. I don't want to go off track this morning, but the bad side of that is a false fleshly ritual. And many times in the church, we prefer the fleshly rituals because it's like somebody said it and we will do it, and this makes me happy because it doesn't require anything of me. And we've talked through that through Matthew chapter 11 and 12 with the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew God's word to recite it, but they lived in the ritual of all the other rules they had made up that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And then when we want the goodness of our Christianity to shine, then we must be confessing belief in faith. We must have a confessing belief in faith, meaning that I'm not just saying, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son. I need, when I confess it, it approaches people. It engages people. It attracts people because you're speaking from a depth, that from the deepness of the heart. The other way of doing this in the bad side of our Christianity, in our modern Christianity, is we're repeating belief in doubt. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the three in one. Do you know there are many people who could say, this is the two ways we can say it. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Spirit. I believe in the three in one. That does nothing to anyone. But when I'm going to truly confess what I believe, I'm going to declare, I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the three in one. There's a difference in how we present our faith to people. And Jesus told this story so that we would become true followers of Christ and we would be excited to work laboriously for the kingdom of heaven. We don't even want to work laboriously for the kingdom of God anymore. I really want to thank our ushers and greeters and parking lot attendants and our Sunday school, our children's ministry. I mean, they have worked laboriously now. Some are exhausted, but let's give them applause because they've been so incredible. Amen. But we all should be working laboriously for the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to. That's what the farmer says. When it's time for reaping, we don't sit back and go, oh, look, the corn's falling to the ground. No, we go out and we do what it takes to reap the harvest. And Christ wanted all the believers to be reminded that there are those who will receive the good news of salvation. But those of us who already have the good news, we have a responsibility to help them to grow. They heard, but they don't understand. They're trying, but they don't know the way. They need to be nurtured. They need to be built up, much like how the farmer will water the crop. And if some crop's doing well, he'll leave that alone and give it a sprinkle. But if some's dying, it's just like your grass in the summer. Don't you spend a little bit more time pouring a little bit more water on it? Why? Because that's what it requires. And we, in the kingdom of God, we need to recognize there are different types of people on the journey, but Christ requires each of us to do our part, whatsoever that part is. So in Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9, again, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered them across the field, some fell on a footpath. The birds came and ate them. Others fell on the shallow soil with the underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the hot sun. Since it didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns, grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still others fell on fertile soil and produced a crop 30, 60, 100 times. And he says this, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What should we understand? What should we understand? We should understand that there are many types of soils. There are many types of soils which correspond to many types of people. That's what this passage is telling us. And Jesus understood them all. So he tells us the seed that fell on the footpath. Then he begins to tell us what they represent. They represent those who hear the message of the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes, snatches away the seed that was planted. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep root, they don't last long. I'm reading this from the New Living for you to hear me today. But since they don't have deep root, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have a problem or if they're persecuted. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand, and they produce. So let's go through the different types of people and the types of soil. The footpath. Let's start with the soils. The footpath. Those who hear the message of Christ but do not fully understand it. He says there are those who, they get on the footpath and they hear the message but they don't understand it. See, the new believers do not know the way. They're unaware of the devil's tricks to take them out on the path. Yes? I said to someone this week, I said, do you realize that the devil has a one-track mind and that he does the same trick over and over? And if we're foolish, we're caught off guard. I've told you many times I struggle with sinusitis, and sometimes I get these sinus infections, and I always get it at a critical time in my life when I have to do something significant, which I have coming up shortly. And I'm like, devil, didn't you do this the last time I was doing that? It's like, you don't even have a new trick. But if you're not a strong Christian, you fall apart under his old trick. I'm like, oh, come on. Didn't Jesus heal me the last time? Don't you know Jesus is going to heal me again? I just got to press through and persevere. That's the strength that we who are mature in faith bring to the new believers who, when they're on the footpath, they don't understand it. Because other believers come alongside and walk with them and talk with them and encourage them and explain to people how Jesus stays on the journey with you. Because the new believers on the footpath are attacked by the evil one who comes to snatch away the seed that was planted in their hearts. When we come through an Easter season and people have given their hearts to the Lord, or even this year we've seen many come to the Lord, but that seed is sitting at a shallow point. And if the Christians who know the power of God's word don't come alongside, then there is no way for them to know the path that they should take to get where they should be going. Now, in the Old Testament, in those days when this was written, and in the New Testament even, there were no defined lines for travel. Like, you know, like now when we leave whatever subdivision, the road is paved, and you know. But anyone remember back in the older days? I wasn't there, but some of you were. When it was just footpath, or those are coming from different islands, or you know, different continents, right? That if there was no path, you made one. Do you remember? And if enough people walked that way, it became the road. That's what he's talking about. Like, it's not the right road, but if enough people went that way, then they go that way. And they're like, okay, let's go through there. I shared that one with you once that I was visiting one of my aunts in Mandeville, Jamaica, and she lived in Bonita Crescent, which meant that it was easy. It was a long way around to the town, or it was a short way through the shortcut, which everybody walked through. Well, I don't know if the dogs in that area didn't like foreigners, but I'll tell you, that's why I was always afraid of dogs, because one took to my leg and took a nice little piece out. And so, you know, when I got screaming and the neighbors came and brought me back, and my aunt said, "Didn't I tell you walk on the road?" And you're like, "But everybody goes through the patch." She goes, "Well, it wasn't for you." And that's the whole story, friends. Sometimes the path is cut by others, but it's not for those, and especially not for the new believers, because they don't know the tricks of the enemy. So that is why Jesus says, you can't blame them, because when the rough passages come in life, they can't handle it. When the dogs come to bite them, they don't even know what to do or who to run or how to stop it, because they didn't expect to encounter it. The other people going through there know where the dogs are. Hello? And so, mature believers, it's our responsibility to help the new people get on their path so that they don't stay on a path that leads to nowhere, but they get on the path that leads to eternal life. It is the responsibility of every mature believer to get on the path that to help others get on the path that leads to eternal life. Can I hear an amen this morning? And then there's the shallow rock soil. This represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But they're so new to faith and they know so little that it wears off quickly. Do you know anyone like that? They're excited, and their excitement for Christ, it's real. But that excitement, it quickly dissipates because they have baby roots. Their faith is not yet developed to overcome the attacks of the enemy. That is why when you see those that are excited in salvation, you know that we have a tendency to, oh, look, they're so excited, they're serving the Lord, they're at church all the time, da, 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 and then we ignore them. We're like, they're good. No, they're not good. That's going to dissipate because there's going to be an attack that the enemy will throw at them. And it will level their joy, and they'll think, well, God, I didn't think I'd be attacked like this. But a mature Christian comes along, go, honey, the sun shines on the good and the bad. This is how it goes. But the Lord delivers from it all. That's when they know how to get up and keep that joy going. And their joy becomes contagious, because many of us who are mature in the faith, we lost our joy a long time ago and just learned to be on the journey. And so, folks, this is what Jesus is teaching about the soils, that we must engage in the process of letting others, when the seed of the word gets in them, whether they're excited, when we see the excitement, and please don't steal their excitement just because yours is gone. Borrow a little, but don't steal. The shallow ground believers will encounter persecution, but their roots are not deep enough for the attack. And that's when you say, all right, I'll give you some shade here. You just hang by me. Hang by me. And they may just be doing the same thing over and over. That's all good. You were there once too. Folks, we have lost the ability to come alongside people, and we think everyone should grow instantly. But you did not grow instantly. You grew progressively into your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not an instant process. This is not oatmeal and you throw water on it. This is a life journey that we take with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we help each other along the way. Amen? And then there's the thorny ground. The thorny ground. These are the folks who heard the word and they loved it. But the Bible says it fell amongst the crowded areas of their lives. They heard the word, but quickly forgot it because of the worries of their lives and the desire to achieve much in the kingdom of earth. Hear me, I didn't say in the kingdom of God. Their desire to accomplish a lot in the kingdom of earth. But they don't have a proper understanding of the wealth of the kingdom of heaven. Let me pause on this for a moment. Lately, there's so many schemes and schisms and this and that. You can get rich tomorrow. You know, there are a million get rich ways to, that you can have. And there are many who are now allowing their hearts to be in that place, becoming a thorny ground where it's like, oh, if I could do this and this, I don't have time for church. I remember in one place that I used to preach, there was a beautiful couple. She played on the piano. He was on the worship team. And I so loved when they were there. And each year after I went back, I got to know them, knew where they worked and everything. And then one year they weren't there. And I said to the pastor, where are they? He says, oh, they bought a new house and they're rebuilding it. I said, well, that's, yeah, Monday to Friday or all day Saturday. But what does that have to do with Sunday? He goes, well, they stopped coming because they said Sunday is their best day. And then went on and on and on. And I went back another year. The third year I went back, I said, so how long is this house? He says, oh, they built the house, but now they were so busy building the house for 2 years that they've decided to travel a bit. And so I said, so when do they ever come to church? Like, now they got all that and they stopped coming. And so the fourth year I went back and the pastor asked me to go and meet with them because they were divorcing. What happens when Jesus is no longer the center because we've gotten so caught up in all the earthly things? The kingdom of earth takes over and the word is now on what kind of ground? Thorny. And what's the thorn doing? It's choking out the life of the word. You see, we choose convenience and comfort over following the word. And so the message of hope and the message of love, the message of encouragement that enlightens the heart, it's not going in weekly. It's not going in consistently, although we should be reading the word daily, but many aren't. So the word encouraged these people when they come even on a Sunday. But when that's not happening, there's no fruit, there's no leaves, there's nothing growing. And these folks that had a revelation of the true blessing of God, they allow the cares of the world, the worries of life, the desire for everything the world offers, they allow it to choke out. It punctures. It puts holes into the spirit. And so convenience takes over. And the indictment is they no longer produce any fruit. And so then their tree begins to dry up. And then they've lost interest completely. Do you know anyone who's gotten to that place where they begin to walk away from the kingdom of God because it no longer has joy for them? Because the enemy, the devil, has sucked it out of them. Oh my God. They're unable to help any other believer, and everything in their crowded life is about them. No more fruit, no more joy, no more peace, no more strength, no more growth. But then Jesus tells us about the fertile soil. The fertile soil, it's where the seeds fall on good soil, and these seeds represent those who truly hear and understand the word of God and produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 times more than what is planted. Remember what Farmer Lynn said? One seed can produce hundreds of seeds that can be used. And those seeds will bear other plants that will bring more seeds. And that there's nothing different with the kingdom of God. There's nothing different from our spiritual life. Our journey in Christ is that you don't know who you touched that will become someone who will advance many. Sometimes I pause and I tell a story. I hope to bring him here one day. But the first time I went into Liberia was right after the war. I went in 2005. The war had just ended. And when I went in, I was with a team of six of us. I tell you, there are times I did things only because God sent me, because now I look back, it was the craziest thing I've ever done. And the people who went with me were crazier to have gone with me. But we went in, and they wanted me to go right through the land to bring hope and encouragement to the different churches and pastors after how many years, 14 years of war. And so we're in this van and there's nowhere to stop. But one of the things that was exhausting was that we couldn't drink a lot of water because there were no bathrooms available. And I told you there were landmines, so even stopping at the side of the road and stuff like that. So it made me very weary. And we had a young preacher, not a preacher, sorry. We had a young man with us. He was put in the van to drive us, to help us find the way, because we had a driver who didn't speak the language the way we needed to. So we had this young man. He was schooled and everything like that. And so when we got there and I preached evening services, I taught the pastors, and then I went to another city. And by the time we got to the third city, I said, listen, young man, did they tell me that you did some Bible college? He said, I did a year. I said, did you learn anything? He said, yes. I said, good, get it ready, because you're going to preach it. He says, me? I said, yes. I said, I cannot preach. I mean, I was preaching 3-4 times a day in hot sun. I said, you're going to preach one of these services, and that's where what we're doing. So I took some of my notes, I gave it to him, and he preached it. So then I realized he can preach. I just got to stoke him. So I stoked him a little bit. Next town, I said, all right, I'm doing 2, you're doing 1. Let's go. And we did this. I went back the following year. They had made him the youth pastor. So I poured into the youth group. And he'll tell you when he comes. He's my spiritual son. I poured into the youth group. I went back the next year. They made him district youth director. So I had a youth crusade for him. And then I went back the next year. I bought him a bike, a motorbike, because he couldn't travel to all the places. So I bought him a motorbike, so they promoted him to National Youth Director so he can take the motorbike and go visit all the youth groups. That was from 2005 to now. Do you know who he is now? He's the National Secretary of the Assemblies of God, Liberia. I hope to bring him 1 year. Can I ask you, how much seed has been planted? I took 1 seed, 1 chance. He is planting seed where I could never go. Folks, we have no idea what God wants to do when we allow him to use us. But the fertile soil, it produces over and over again. God is not looking for cookie sheet Christians, okay? Nowadays, we look at these houses, their building is just cookie sheet. Oh, look, there's a corner here. Put one there. God is not into cookie sheet bunching, okay? Contrary to that, he's looking for us to be individuals who come alongside other individuals. And you'll say, oh, but, you know, I don't know. That person looks quirky. You were quirky once, too, and you probably still are from our standard. You don't know how somebody else is looking at you. I think sometimes when we're saved for too long, we think we're perfect. No, you're not. You got quirks in you that you don't even realize. We just smile. Nice. Online, bear with me. This parable of Jesus is that he's speaking to each one of us today, and he's saying it's a secret you can learn from. The seed represents the gospel. The sower represents anyone who proclaims God's word, and the various soil represent people's response to the word of God. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells us this parable of the sower, and then he gives us the definition, and he describes planting seeds in these 4 types of soil: the footpath, the rocky ground, the thorny soil, the good soil, and he shows us, as a farmer does, that if it's planted in the wrong soil, it cannot grow. If it falls in the path where the birds are going to eat it, nothing is left. If it's where the cares of life are going to choke it out, then it's going to evaporate, it's going to dissipate. If it's gone where it's not going down into the soil to be watered, then it's not going to take root. If it doesn't take root, it cannot grow. So how does this parable of the sower relate to us today? This parable of the sower relates to us in this. When we know God's word, we do not allow ourselves to be distracted by the news, by the riches, or by the noise of the enemy. But we do not allow anything to replace the good news of the gospel. And when the good news of the gospel is inside good soil in our hearts, all we want it to do is grow and touch other lives. That's what makes the difference. So, folks, one songwriter said, turn your eyes back upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And what? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The parable of the sower and the seed. The seed represents the gospel, which is God's word. The sower represents anyone who proclaims God's word. The various soil represents individual responses to the word. And the farmer represents you sowing his message. We all have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility. I'm going to just flip my slides there. Would you go to my plant slide before I go to my altar time? So many, some of you have seen this before. Actually, would you go get mine? It's in the Welcome Center. So someone gave us, as a joke or a blessing, I'm not sure which one, a little shoot from, this is now going on 3-4 years. Can you guess? You've seen some of this before. It's a spider plant. And they brought in something like this. And I just, you know me, I love being competitive, right? You know that about me, right? So I said, okay, well, we're going to have a competition on who can grow theirs. And so over these couple of years now, we've been growing these spider plants. And the funny thing is, as staff come and go, they've all, you know, come and gone with their spider plant. But everybody, once they come on staff, they get a spider plant. And so we've got Sebastian had one, Leah's got one, they're all... Christie's is there. Nate's is there. Nate's is standing up tall. And Cherry's is there. Now, that neglected one is in the front office, and we don't know whose plant wasn't growing, and they started a new one and came and hid that somewhere else. We've even had plant sabotage. We have. Like, we now don't trust each other. There are certain people, if you're going away, like, we don't let other people water, because we had somebody who drowned somebody's plant purposely, okay? And then you've got Pastor Ruth just started, so there's hers, there's mine, I'll talk about in a minute. There's Pastor Rob's. Now, here's the funny thing about Pastor Rob. When we gave him one, he goes, don't bring that in my office, because I can't grow plants. And now, he's, you know, we've, many of us have taken shoots from his, and he'll be like, did you see my plant? Did you see my plant? Worst of all was when Pastor Dennis started and we gave him a plant, he goes, I do not do plants. My wife does plants, and we're like, everybody on staff does a plant. And he's like, I'm not taking care of it. So I put it in there just the same. It was in, we call that Wilson, the little smiley one. They all start out with that one. And so we put it in Wilson, put it in his office. And after a while, when he saw it keeled over, he put water because he felt bad. And now he proudly has repotted it and it's growing. Isn't that something? We've used this now as a staff joke and all the time, and mine's been transplanted many times, I need to, and it gets all these, see, just springs like this, and you cut off that little edge, you put it in water, number of people will get from that again, number of people will get from that in another week or two, and it doesn't even take that much care, actually, just water it, and, you know, some people talk to theirs, I know Rob goes in and talks to his in the morning, when it starts to answer... So I share all that to say God has given us every example of what it means to grow and what it takes to grow. And we don't need a deep revelation. We water the things in our lives. We water the Word. We water our spirit with the Holy Spirit. We water everything. We let the sunshine of His light, of His presence, of His peace come into us. But one of the beauty of this is, if I don't keep cutting this off and sharing it or doing something with it, ultimately this will die. Because this dries out on it and then begins to do what? Choke out the rest of it. Isn't that what happens? Don't some of you know if you want the thing to grow, you cut off the dead parts? Is that any different in our lives? So there's a lot of dead things we just need to cut out and let some green things grow and be happy to share what God has given us with others. Coming after Easter and into now 3 months and watching just so many people come to the Lord, have you come alongside anyone and say, hey, come sit by me on a Sunday. I'm here for you. Hey, do you need a prayer? I'll be there for you. What can I do for you? Instead, we spend more time looking for each other. You see, if you look at if Cherry and Christy and mine and Pastor Rob, if our plants just congregate together, yeah, it may look pretty for a moment, but it's still going to die. But what's going to grow are the ones that are just being nurtured and helped. And you know the story. I don't have to go any further. I need to stop right now. But I need to say this to you today. The story of the soils, the seed is God's word. We have a responsibility to plant it. The sower means that we're going to proclaim God's word wherever we can. The soil is the individual, the individuals, and we don't know if it's going to be rocky, thorny, hard, or fertile. But all we do is we plant and we water, and God takes care of the rest. But the ones that are rocky, the ones that are shallow, we can help them get to moist. You get inside the soil and you begin to dig it up a little bit, don't you? We can get inside the soil of some people's lives by coming alongside them. Is everyone with me this morning? And that's what really matters. It's not just about us. It's about growing the kingdom of God. So I want to speak today to committed, those Christians who are for a commitment. I'm looking for a commitment from committed Christians who you will help new believers on their path so that they choose to prepare their soil so it becomes fertile. I'm looking for a commitment from new believers to accept the different things offered to help you on your spiritual journey so that your heart becomes encouraged and that you do not carelessly handle the seed that is within you. You're going to just make those commitments from your seat today. Normally I'd have an altar, but today I wanted you to purposely live it out, walk it out. And I'm going to pray also for those who you need to consecrate your hearts because your heart has become thorny. You've allowed the cares of the world, the worries of life to choke. It's choking out the joy of your salvation. David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Renew a steadfast spirit in me." That's your prayer today. If the heart's getting thorny, means that that you're choking out the life. If I'm like, oh, I'm going to church, but I'm not. If you're not happy coming to church, it's not because of my preaching. It's not because of the worship. It's because you got some thorns that are just sucking the life out of your heartfelt warmth in the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch everyone today. Touch everyone today. Let's pray. Father, I pray, oh God, that you would restore the joy of thy salvation to every person who feels that everything is choking out the joy that they had, the peace and the exuberance of working and walking and standing in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, so many questions are bombarding minds. So many attacks coming against minds and bodies. But in the name of Jesus, oh, we declare faith, oh God, that comes from your throne room. I declare over everyone whose hand was raised and everyone at home whose heart stood up in peace. I pray, oh God, that you would, Lord, revisit and refresh. Father God, let the plants begin to bloom inside. The planted word begin to take root in another area. Father, let the soil be dug up again. Fertilize it with your Holy Spirit. And let the joy of thy salvation be renewed upon hearts and minds in the mighty name of Jesus. So I thank you today. And all of God's people said, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.